when you're in a new place, not knowing a lot of people, or you're in a new place and you're not familiar with the system, it's very, very, very hard. But what does it take? Kumo, to be honest, it takes money. Not at one point did I feel like, oh, I was going to be something else. No, it was always being an athlete. And I just had the breathing room that my parents gave me, that all I needed to do was pass my grades, move on to the next level, and I'm good. Because I used to come dead last or something. Nobody cared.
What's wrong with this guy? Don't start showing yourself. Mind you. I've done all this work so far. You know, trying to dig you up in front of the guys that we are talking to. So just mind yourself.
Good afternoon, my people.
How's it going, my guy? How you doing, man?
You know the drill. Keeping it down.
See, he looks like a madman. And he is a madman. Just like to keep it on his feet.
I've gone back to my earlier phase. This is the madness phase. You know the brains were a little too calm. We need something to spice up the madness. Take it back to Lagos dance. that's my guy. He's always repping.
I beg you, you should relax. The other guy is making 100 and something million over here. I beg. That's what I'm about.
We don't condone such energy around here. We don't condone. Please. Let's go. My people are in the building. Please. Come on, let's go.
Paola. Thanks for coming on.
Papa, I see you. All my people, I see you.
This guy is mad. Anyway, let's start it off, man. Thanks for everyone who joined in. This is Chukwue Bukam Valentine, my guy from way back. When we say way back, we always think about 10 years, 15 years, 20 years.
Yeah,
but this way back is more of, you know, having this connection with someone, you know, and being
our
able
way
to,
back is 2018. To really,
yeah. That's our way back. It's still way back now.
Is it? Is it really?
It's still way back.
It's our way back.
But yeah, I wanted us to do this on a live, you know, change up the dynamic of the podcast. And I was talking before you got on that we'll probably do this with a few of the guests that we're going to have on. So it'll be a more interactive session. But yeah, let's start off with you, my guy. 2022 is a wrap. You had an eventful year, or quite an eventful year. So, what was your biggest takeaway from that year?
My biggest takeaway from 2022. I'm not trying to mess this up because I know this will come back to bite me. So, my biggest takeaway in 2022. Has to be getting engaged, proposing actually, because it was unreal. I know this is a little bit off, but it was my biggest takeaway, and the reason so is because it really hit me. It really hit me that, like, I've never wanted to accept that I'm grown. I always wanted to be in that, oh, I'm still a kid, oh, I'm still, you know, I'm still, but not necessarily being under my parents for like the last 3 years, like basically being alone and still fighting the reality that I'm on my own.
Yeah.
When I proposed, that's when it really hit me that, okay, this is a grown man right here. So that was definitely my biggest takeaway, because it's still, man, look at what we think this goofy ass guy is going to get married. Like, look at it. So that's the thing.
See, the moment I saw the picture online, I was like, God, what am I doing with my life? what am I doing with my life? What am I doing, Gongo? But I really, really appreciated that you guys were able to get that on so quickly. Like, when I saw it, I was like, okay, this man is really serious about this business. And we need to do something. We too. But Vitalis, you have to do something. I can see you seeing flexing on. You got to do something. Stop sitting on the fence.
Vitalis is going to the I'm young.
Young and making money. I mean, that's what it is. You never know anything.
He's marketing all his money. All his money is anyway. Crypto.
Show us the way. You guys, well, we had a crypto episode, so I'm not going to say anything. He has given us all the trust, everything that we needed to know. But yeah, moving forward, man. 2022 was a life-changing year for most of us in regards to trying to build up a brand, build up our careers. So you moving on over to Ghana was a big move for you. Now, can you just talk about that move from Nigeria to Ghana? What prompted it, and you know, what you've been able to build so far?
What a few people know, and not a lot of people know, obviously, is that the stay wasn't meant to be this long. That's first and foremost. It wasn't meant to be this long. It was meant to be a transit. Like, this is meant to be a transit. So I was supposed to stay 2 weeks. 2 weeks turned to a year. For the complications came with the other country I was moving into, and, you know, one of those Nigerians can, sanctions and all that stuff. But moving here was the biggest eye opener of in Nigeria, I suffered what I always spoke about, which was identity crisis. Like, I didn't know who I couldn't fit. I couldn't fit. Like, it was either because the people around me knew where I was coming from. They knew I was coming from Dubai. So they already had this, okay, if he's coming from Dubai, he's supposed to be like this. He's supposed to be like this. Yeah. So when they found out, and it was obvious that, you know, my family was going through all these different things, and we weren't living up to the expectation of all these people that were, like, expecting us to be this kind of people. So we weren't giving them the expectation. So everybody tried to be like, okay, you know, he's just that guy. He's just that guy. And even when I struggled to try and integrate myself into the society and be like, I'm a man on my own, I'm making my own mark, I'm doing my own thing, but people weren't really buying it.
Mm-hmm.
Moving to Ghana was the biggest blessing in the last year, simply because when I moved, every single door opened. I got to experience my relationship. It just seemed like everything I've worked for up until this point or that point, it was being recognized. Because at first, they thought it was vacation. For most part, they thought it was vacation. So, you'll come back. So, when we started getting the moment, it was like how many months in? They were like, okay, wait, this guy is not coming back. What is he doing? It's just moving here as, yeah, I won't lie. Nigeria messed with me. It messed with me. Couldn't move out.
Messing with everybody, my guy.
Couldn't go out, socialize, all that different. I couldn't do anything. I was scared every time I saw the police. I was scared. So I made sure to stay at home.
Funny enough, you know, we've got to talk about the last experience you had before you even left night with the police. It was crazy when we had that conversation. I was like, what is going on, Gongo? Like, it makes no sense for an adult, a young man, not to be able to walk on the streets of Lagos without having that fear at the back of his mind that something's going to happen. It makes no sense. And I don't know what we can do to change it, but elections are coming up. People, you better do your civil duties now, because if you make the wrong decision, well, voila. You see all those market women, they have their PVC already. I was watching a video. All of them have their PVC. I'm going to be voting for my brother. Who is your brother? Shivaji, because he's Yoruba. You people should have sense. Have sense, please. Have sense. I want to come tonight. Have sense. Sorry to cut you off, man, but it's all those little things that really take us away from the fact that Nigeria really needs to develop to a different level. So we can actually do the things we want to do, because the best place for me to live anytime is Nigeria.
That's 100%.
Nigeria is just the right place to be in, especially when you're not have money, you know. You can do whatever you want. But so many things need to be handled. Let's talk basketball, my guy. When did you pick up basketball? Was it in Dubai or when you moved down and say, okay, I've seen Komo play, let me mess with him real quick.
Basketball for me was 2014. I think it was, what was it like? If it was 2014, like roughly 8-9 years ago.
Yeah, so, young boy.
That is the thing, man. I picked up basketball 2014. I was doing track since my first grade. So I was doing track since 2003. I stopped doing track 2009. Then I've been playing football since then. I was also swimming, competitive. All of these are competitive. Bro. But then eventually, you know, you have to pick one. That's the thing. Like, I was born to be an athlete, but I had to pick one. So I thought to myself one day, I was really, really good at football to the point where I was getting some, like, the offers were starting to come, just like the offers are coming with the D1, D2, like right now. Mm-hmm. So the offers were starting to come, you know, like they were starting to take notice. This was in Dubai. So the offers were starting to come. They were starting to come. And, you know, people were starting to invite me for things and all that. And in that moment, in exactly when the offers were starting to come, I said I wanted to pick basketball. And I'll never forget that the reason I said to myself was because it looks like it's the hardest sport. Just not because I necessarily liked it to the point like, say, oh, I think I'm passionate about it. No, I just said, this sport just looks really hard, so I just want to try it. And so I picked up a basketball 2014, I think in the summer.
So what's the journey been like for you so far?
Man, I've been playing the big position because, you know, in Dubai... don't laugh at me. I've been playing
this guy is 6'2".
At the time, I was 5. You know, it's even more ironic. At the time, I was 5'11".
Oh, my God. We've gone through that phase. I understand you.
I was 5'11", playing the center position because, you know, as of that time, teams were just small. It was more of quick. Mm-hmm. Everybody was quick. Everybody was fast. And most of them were Filipino. So, So, I was usually one of the biggest, tallest guys in the team. So, I started playing the center position, center, in different leagues and academy. It wasn't till like my last season, my last league in Dubai that I actually played the three. The closest to my natural position was the three that I played. And that was the last time I played in Dubai. Then I came here and it was a restart again.
Yeah, you always go through that phase. I remember when I started playing hoops, I think the first time I really took it seriously was when I got into Unilag. And I met one useless boy, my best friend now, Chuka. He was the one who really pushed me. And although I had to go through, I didn't play the center position like you. I was always small. In fact, I was smaller than this. If people saw me then, I looked like this. That was how bad it was. But I was really small. And, you know, over the years, I had to transition from being the guy that just comes into games and plays 1 minute and, you know, gets out of the court to the guy that actually gets to play 10, 20, 30 minutes. You know, it's always a process. But that journey was really, really exciting because I got to play with the older guys who were really tough on us. And I also got to play with the younger guys that really felt like they were the shit and they were not the shit. Even to a bit. Some of them to message me like, ah, Komo, if I catch you. Hey, nobody's catching Komo. I'm still a goon. I don't say it so much, but no one is catching Komo.
Nah, you have to talk to pride. It's okay, it's okay. You have to talk to pride. I'm speaking for you. See, nobody's catching me. Nobody's catching me. You can stick with your subtle pride. I'm telling you, nobody's touching me. As this right now, nobody's touching me. I mean, they can request. You get your one-on-one. We're gonna have it recorded. But you ain't touching me. Nobody's touching me, including you, Komo, including you.
I'm going to put this out there. The day I catch you, you'll be messing with all these guys around. I'll see you on your TikTok. You'll be messing with them, be beating them up, and I think, mind yourself. We're not gonna push the buttons. I'm coming, oh.
Hey, come on. Make sure your knees are intact because you need them. make sure your knees are intact.
I do not like this about my friends. The company cannot even tell you something that you keep it confidential. What is wrong with you? My knees are okay. I'm just old. I'm not old. I'm older. Just keep that down.
You're a veteran, man. You're a veteran.
I don't like that word. I understand it is a part of my life right now, but I don't like the word veteran. Please.
You know, that's the funniest thing. In basketball age, you're a veteran. But in a regular day-to-day, you are still a young man. You're still a youth. You're all right. Ain't not much. But imagine calling LeBron old, but he's a youth when we bring him to normal society. Like, that's an example.
Yeah, that's true.
You call someone that's like 30-something old. How? But it's sports, so you're old.
Yeah, I'll take it. I'll take it for you. I'll take it from you. Just for now. But when I catch you, we have to put it on your TikTok. Put it. In fact, we're going to go live, everything. We have it recorded.
100%.
You can't be messing. I'm not messing with other people and like, fuck that shit, man. I've got to think. But yeah, we're talking about the difference in culture and, you know, the basketball community in Ghana.
It's a lot more competitive in Nigeria. I don't know, man. I'm not trying to give it a lot of gap, but playing in Nigeria, you could see that it was a very huge, like a huge market, and just very few we could select because there were so many that were so good. And Ghana is a very small country, so I'll give them that. And I've always thought that the smaller the country, the more advantage they have. I don't know if you understand, because you don't have that many. Like but to really just sum it up, Nigeria has a more, like, the Nigerian basketball scene is far more competitive. The Ghana, and it also translates to the everyday life too. Like, Nigeria is a very competitive environment, and it's mostly unhealthy. Because, like I said, it's a tear down, tear to pieces kind of competition. Whereas you have the Ghanaian society or the Ghanaian nature that it's more like, yeah, we'll compete if the needs be, but not at every given moment. So that's really just like the basis of it.
So what exactly what does it take to like build an organization like yours, like get a footprint in a foreign country the way you are so far? Because you've done so much over the past year that your name is mentioned, or at least your organization is mentioned at different places in Ghana. You know, you've been around, you've moved from city to city trying to get a footprint on. So what does it actually take to, you know, get to that stage?
What does it take? I'm trying to mellow something down. Let me just start with this so that I can just have a flow of it. But it takes a lot of consistency because it's very discouraging when you're in a new place, not knowing a lot of people, or you're in a new place and you're not familiar with the system. It's very, very, very hard. But what does it take? Komo, to be honest, it takes money. You can have that's what I was trying to avoid. You see, with all due respect, that's what I was trying to avoid. We can talk about consistency, we can talk about commitment. We can talk about, you know, your drive. if you don't have money, and I'm not saying that I have money. I'm not saying I'm just graced. I'm just graced to have have families and friends that are abroad that in a way just see what I see and help me implement my vision. Because money is really all. See, come on, I think one of the things is that I don't think one of the attracting before International Waters had any footprint in Ghana, as an individual, just to build myself, like let's say as a brand on my own, before I could even be someone of my own, where people would be like, oh yeah, this is Valentine this, Valentine that, before they could get to the point where my name was in their mouth, not until I started changing shoes. Hey, I'm saying it as it is.
You gotta cash out. Money makes the world go round.
I had the Curries. I changed to Then I had the other Pumas. Then I had the Lou Williams. Then I had the James Harden. When I started changing shoes, then you know they were starting to pick up that okay, something's going on here.
Who is this guy?
Not until then. He didn't catch the attention because I could have been anybody. You know, I could have been anybody. I don't drive a car. Yeah. You know, although nobody necessarily knows where I live. So there's that. Even when I say where I live, as in the community where I live, big boy, it's really not like that. But something needed to announce me. Obviously, if the whole changing of shoes happened, but my game was wanky, then you obviously know you will not. We will not even be having this conversation. But that shoe, those sneakers, the colors, all those things, they really spoke volume. And I have to be honest, without that, for me, I don't know how anybody else used to, run an organization or even open or start an organization in any foreign country. But all I know is, as a foreigner myself, the way that I did it was to have some level of money. That's all. Just have some money in your pocket.
People, cash out to make money. Don't go broke in this life. You see Shaggy. Hey. Shaggy. Don't be joke. People don't understand. Like, for real, we talk about money so much. Like, everybody wants to make money, want to be comfortable, want to be able to do this. But money really runs the world. If you have a sufficient amount of money, you'll be able to pull a lot of stuff up. And people still don't get it, bro. Now, your own business with that. If you don't want to make money, now you shall be. Do anything you want to do to make money. Say, I don't go and carry someone's pass and go and sell it for those now. Let me help you it up. Yeah. You are a TikTok sensation. You know? You've been able to blow up on TikTok. Even though I'm not on TikTok, I know what's going on. I see everything, you know? How many followers do you have right now? Let's get that out. How many followers?
1.8k followers.
1.8k. You're still getting there. You know, with the content you put out, it's getting to that point where people will be like, okay, this guy is becoming an influencer. Let's start getting this right. Now, what's like the end goal with you being on social so much? Because for one, we're still going to talk about you and your content creation, starting off with videography when you were back in Nigeria and doing all those little stuff. But with TikTok at the moment, what's the end goal?
To get as many sponsorship, to get as many endorsements and business deals as possible.
That makes a lot of sense. But do you feel like you'll be able to pull as much attention on a wider scale when you try to scale up your organization with the TikTok and the others?
Absolutely.
That makes a lot of sense. I totally believe you, because with everything that you've been able to pull off so far, forget. Now just more time remains.
When by the way, to all my sponsors, donors, and the rest of you that are listening, when you guys actually start to give me what I ask, what you want is a guarantee. You see, the thing is that most of the time, whatever it is that I ask, it seemed to be too much until someone else comes along. See, when I ask for a certain percentage now, I know why I'm asking for it, because there's only so much I can do as an individual. I need resources, just like anybody else. You need certain resources to take your stuff to the next level. I need certain resources to take mine to the next level. So when some sponsorship or proposals come and I ask for some certain incentives and, you know, they are a little reluctant to give it to me. Because when you give it to me, I'll use it and give back to you what you want. Exactly what you want, I'll give it to you. But then when they give me in half, now the problem with giving me in half is I'll deliver. Certainly I'll deliver. But I will always tell you that I could have done better. And that's not something anybody wants to hear. As a business, you want to be able to have maximized the opportunity with me. Because for some businesses, we're not going to work together forever. So if you come to me with a proposal, give me what I can work with 100% so I can give you what you want. We're both happy. But if I have 50%, I'm not saying that I'm not going to give you everything, because it's always going to be 100% energy. But at the same time, I'm still one person and I still need the resources that I ask you. If it's only 50%, there's only so much I can do. So give it to me now. Because it's hot now. It's not when the wind is gone, the boy will have blown. No. Now the wave is coming.
Come back.
This is, as they say, this is international waters. Now the wave is coming. So the wave is just taking us small, small. When the storm comes, may they not start to say that I'm not listening to them. See, I'm always going to be down to earth. I'm always going to take. I'm not going to. I don't think any deal is necessarily too small for me. I don't necessarily think so. I just want people to acknowledge that you don't have to. Like, just see what I see. You have evidence. Like, my everything on my page proves something. Yeah. You can go, you can check the history, you can check the engagement, you can check the numbers. Maybe you want to do numbers. I'll give you numbers. Mm-hmm. But you have to give me what it is that I ask for. Because sometimes what you're asking of me, I can't necessarily give it to you if I don't have what it is that I ask of you.
Make it work. True.
I like the mouth guard for my sneaker doctor. Shout out to Dr. Patrick. When he did the mouth guard for me, he was asking of something. He was asking, obviously, to, you know, draw, bringing customers for him, that because he can customize. He does customize mouth guard.
Mm-hmm.
So he was asking for a specific type of project, you know, like a specific type of shoot and all that, like a story, something like that. Eventually, he said, "Oh, just do it anyhow." But I still didn't want to do it anyhow. Thankfully, that was around the same time Vitalis was coming to Ghana. And bam. You see what I'm saying? So Vitalis was the resource that I needed to pull what I pulled for him.
Yeah.
Because not only did I give him one video, I gave him like two or three.
Wow.
And his work was able to... And as a matter of fact, because Vitalis was around, I was able to do for him. At the same time, I was able to do for Chad. Shout out to Chad, by the way. Their t-shirt. I was able to do their t-shirt at the same time, and it went so well. It didn't necessarily look like an advert.
Yeah.
Because it's something that I like, I wear, I use myself.
Uh-huh.
But you wouldn't have gotten that quality of that content without what I was asking for. Not that I asked him for it, but it's an example of that. Sometimes what I need to deliver the best for you, I need more than 50%. Like, I need you to give me not only just give me your trust, and your trust is, you know, sometimes it's your money.
Yeah, the thing is, I think I don't want to put this out as just Nigerians, but with Africans, we always tend to hold back, especially when doing business with fellow Africans, which is terrible. If it was a white man, I'm not trying to be throughout this racist.
I totally agree.
But if it was someone of a different descent, you know, we always push an extra, go the extra mile for that person. And we don't do the same for our own, which is wild. Like, let us build something together. Give us the things that we need to actually work, and things are going to blossom for everybody. But I don't get it, man. Africans, we think a different way, and I don't know. I don't know why. Even here in the UK, I've met a lot of folks who really want to do something back home, and with the platform and the podcast running, they want to come on and have conversations, you know, try to build a little something for themselves as well back in Nigeria. And I'm like, if you're going to do this, what do you think we can do together to grow off it? I am going to need this from you. Are you going to be able to provide it? And people start coming up with, you know, you've been doing this for a while, you've got this. I'm like, I know I have been doing this for a while. There's a reason why I've been doing this for a while. There's a goal too. So let us know what we can do together to work. But it never works out right. But, you know, people will always be our Niger, our Africans. Please, let us do better. I beg of you. Let us do better. Videography and content creation is something you've always been big on. And you just spoke about Vitalis. That is my guy. In fact, he's my favorite in the family. No, he's not my favorite. Chisom is actually my favorite.
Look at this guy. How you gonna say my sister on live? On live. Chisom, I don't know if you're here. So avoid this guy.
Chisom is my favorite in the family. I'm saying it. I'm putting it out there. I don't care what anybody says.
I've been watching your movement. I'm supposed to be your favorite. I'm supposed to be your favorite. But you want to. What did I say? Stop that for? Did you explain it to you before? Retire the story.
You remember the first time you actually introduced that to me at Lupeju? And I saw you. I was like, so I've been talking to this fake twin since. Yeah, the fake twin.
I definitely remember. It's me that made the mistake.
Anyway, back to what we're saying. You've been on to content creation and videography for a long time, even when you were back in Nigeria. So, what's your thoughts of the media space, especially with the inclusion and this sudden rise of AI, and what we can actually build with that?
I ain't gonna lie, man. We have a long way to go.
You look so sad. Why you? you look so dejected. Like, God,
man, come on. I say this all the time, man. We're hosting basketball events. You're talking about AI. You're talking about AI. AI. We haven't even started recording our games. You're talking about AI. Where do you think we're going? Like, where do you really think we are going?
We're having a conversation. We are hosting games
that are supposed to. Games that are supposed to be national treasure. We're hosting a Ghana versus Nigeria game. Where is the record? Where? And you're talking about AI. Didn't we start from somewhere? They're having a whole. With all the sponsorships that I'm not even with no apology with all the sponsorship that Africa Basketball Festival had, it's phone recording we have of a live. Come on.
Why are you so angry?
We honestly can do better.
Why are you so angry now? It's not me now. Why are you angry?
On this, man. This stuff has been because, man. You see opportunities just. Like you're literally seeing a market just pass you by. When do we want to now integrate videography into our games? Is it in the next 10 years? When? If we had that level of exposure with videography, most of the guys wouldn't even be here. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Kings. Thank you. We are far behind. You want to tell me that all the sponsorship that we have they had for the Africa Basketball Festival, all that sponsorship, and we don't have highlight. not personal profile highlight, just highlight. Do you know what that does to our players? I mean, you know, half our players, half our players in Ghana, half our players in Nigeria are not even supposed to be where they are. They're only there because they don't have the resources. And it's not like the resources are, like what? Just record the game. All this sponsorship, you can't record a game.
Yeah. It's sad, to say the least, honestly speaking. Like, the world has left us behind when it comes to issues like this, especially in the basketball community. We even see the NPFL, that's the Nigerian Football League, do a lot better week in and week out. They've got the IFL, which is like a smaller league in Nigeria, do the same thing. They've got highlights week in, week out. And you come back to things like basketball is a more sophisticated sport. And still, we are unable to put out this thing to our audience. It makes no sense. And that was one of the main reasons why I started off the podcast. Like, I really wanted to cover our guys back home, at least give them a platform where people will know them for what they do. No matter how little it is, people will know them for what they do. And hopefully we can actually get to that point where we don't have to stress about it. But please, my brothers, Shishogumongo, videographer, carry your camera everywhere you are going to. Everywhere. Everywhere you are going to.
And he'll take the videos now. He'll take the videos, they won't pay him.
You want to get to that? You really want to get to that? That's like, that is different.
I rest my case.
Yeah, big announcement before we continue with our conversation. So the main reason we wanted to do this live was to actually give out this announcement. As we can see, Mr. Sino Valentine is part of our team, the Flat Out team. He's going to be the co-host for this season and for many, many seasons to come. And hopefully one day, maybe he'll be the host because I would have left this throne.
I beg. I don't come here to drive it. I come serve, I beg. Nobody wants to take any truth. I beg. Let me stay where I am.
So at this point, we've got our co-host on floor. I've been talking about this over the years, like in previous episodes, that I really needed to get someone in. And Valentine has been one of the guys that pushed and supported the program and, you know, gave us every 6 year and there every now and then. So really appreciate you jumping on. And please, people, you know, support us. Support his brand, support his organization, support everything that we're trying to do. Yeah. Yeah, we're at the tail end of the interview, but, you know, just need to touch on a few things. Now, our beliefs as Africans, and when it comes to sport, has been one of the things that has held us back over the years. Now, you've seen Nigeria and you've seen Ghana. Do you feel like those beliefs actually are universal in Africa?
Do I think what?
Those beliefs that has really held us back when it comes to sports. You know, when you're younger, you say, go and read your book. What are you doing with basketball? What are you doing with football? Are you okay? You want to go and be kicking ball on the street?
100%.
Do you think that's universal in Africa?
Yeah, 100%. Thankfully for me, my parents never drilled me on studies. So my parents were never like, oh, you have to come first, come second, or come third. All they cared about was that you pass and go to the next grade, right? That was for me. So that allowed me to be the athlete that I wanted to be. Because I've always wanted to be an athlete. Always. So that hasn't changed. And that was it, not at one point did I feel like, oh, I was going to be something else. No, it was always being an athlete. And I just had the breathing room that my parents gave me, that all I needed to do was pass my grades, move on to the next level, and I'm good. Because I used to come dead last or something. Nobody cared. Nobody cared. As long as you moved up, as long as you moved up great, then. But then imagine now all these other guys that, I mean, they can't ball because, you know, they have to focus on their studies and their parents are not allowing them to take it to the next level, whatever that next level may be. I think it's really holding a lot of us back, like really, really. Then you see us picking up basketball at very later stages in our life, which is a problem.
Yeah. I started off, like, I took it seriously when I was 15, and that's late for a lot of us. Like,
most of us actually picked up the game really late. You guys they're already flying all over the roof, and now even me picking it up at 2014, like, what is that?
Yeah. It's crazy. Yeah. I know this, our generation is going to be totally different because, like, we've seen the mix of the way we were brought up and the way this younger generation are being brought up at the moment. So I think we'll always find a balance. We've always found a way to find a balance. And with tech coming out and changing the way people think, hopefully it's going to change the world in the next few years. Yeah, one more thing before we round up. We've got some rapid fire questions and I'm going to put you on the spot. Yeah, I think it's just one or two questions that will put you on the spot. But first, I want to cut wahala between you and your Ghana people. Ghana jollof rice and Nigeria jollof rice. Which one is better?
Nigeria jollof. Give me back. I'm even asking BB to have Nigeria jollof. I'm tired. I beg. You guys sponsor me. Let me go back to Nigeria. I beg.
Wait. What is the problem with Ghana jollof? Let's settle this once and for all. What's up with this?
Man, Ghana jollof, you'll find occasionally, let me not exaggerate, but for like 6 months, I was looking, I ate out from every single restaurant for like 6 months. I was looking for jollof. That was, the jollof don't even have that tangible. It doesn't have that tangible, that touch.
How many people have you expected this thing to? Have you told all your guys that Nigeria they love is?
Oh, I know you. They know me now. I know you. See, they know me. I used to hide that one. I tell you straight. I say, see, listen. I love your country, but your jollof is trash.
This guy. You know this thing has caused civil war.
I know. Do you know what? Every time I want to have that conversation of the jollof, I'll make sure that I have my bag already ready to leave because so I'll make sure I have my bag ready to leave just in case they want to pounce on me. I'll be able to bounce. But like the Nigerian jollof all day. Please give me back my jollof. I beg you. That's the one thing I miss.
Yeah. Okay. Next one. This is family matters. If you had to starve one or feed the other, who are you going to starve? Vitalis or Vivian?
Definitely starve Vivian because she doesn't eat too much. Feed Vitalis. Vivian doesn't eat much anyway. Vivian can go. Nah, feed.
Oh my God.
He's correct guy. Bottom foot. That's my guy. That's
oh my God!
Definitely, Jesus Christ!
Oh my Lord! So yeah, going to take it out on my favorite in the family. No, that's what we're doing.
There's no personal bias. This is
that's what we're doing.
No agenda behind this.
Hey, the good thing is we have this recorded, so I'm going to cut out the clip and send it to her. That this guy really doesn't like you. Just know it from the bottom of your heart. I'm the one who actually.
You want to cause civil war in the family.
Anyway, start bench or court, MJ, Kobe, LeBron.
Start Jordan. Bench LeBron, court Kobe. Why would I play the same? Why would I play the same people?
Well, for most people, that's the argument. Like, you know, you have three guys that are always mentioned as the top three, top five of all time. And people always say Kobe is MJ reincarnated. Every time. So I've asked a few people, and they'll be like, start MJ, cut Bron, you have Ben Kobe. I always ask them, are you guys for real? You know, MJ and Kobe are just the same person.
They have nearly the same drive, the same killer instinct, the same moves, the same defensive instinct. So mm-hmm. what exactly are you doing with the same player two times? I mean, LeBron gives me something else. And even though, like, Jordan is always going to be my number one, so LeBron is going to be staying on the bench. But cut Kobe, I mean, with all due respect.
Why is Jordan your number one? I want to cut Wala here. That's all I'm asking. Why is Jordan your number one?
First of all, I'm going to have to tell you this before I tell you why he's my number one. I've gone bald multiple times because of Jordan. That's how much I idolized him. When you see a killer, there's something attractive about it.
This guy. Were you attracted to, what's his name?
Naturally, I'm attracted to people that are I'm attracted to people that are mean-spirited. In a way, I'm naturally attracted to people that are mean-spirited. I think because I've also had to deal with Vivian, because at some point she was very mean-spirited. Now she's lighter. Now she's lighter. Now she's nice. Now Vivian is nice. But not before.
Oh, wow.
So
what did she do to you? I need to know
Vivian
this.
Vivian really made me, like, tough. So growing up with someone like that and being introduced to basketball and seeing Jordan and seeing that, like, at the point, obviously, being lit young, I don't know what a killer instinct is. I don't know what all these technical terms are. But you see something and you just be like, something about him just resonates. And that was it.
It makes a lot of sense.
What are they saying? How about Castell? What am I doing?
You see, he said he's going to your DM to go and roast you. So you just expect it. with MJ and Bron, we always talk about those guys being the greatest of all time. I've always said to people, like, I grew up on Michael Jordan, and although LeBron is incredible, probably going to go down for the next generation as the greatest of all time, Jordan is always going to be my guy. So I have them as 1A and 1B, regardless. Anyhow you want to switch it, I'm not mad at it. Those guys are incredible. Next one. What kind of music do you really resonate with you? Are you a rap guy? Just Afrobeat. Don't tell me just Afrobeat, please. I love every genre of music.
Man, I ain't gonna lie. 90% of the time, I'm bumping Afrobeat. 90%.
You're too African for my liking.
See, you see, come on, let me point some out. Let me point some out. You see, people always come to me with that thing. When I tell them, oh, they're like, when they get to know that, okay, you know, I grew up also and all that shit. They'll be like, but why do you talk like this? Why do you talk like a typical Nigerian? Like, you know, am I not in Nigeria? I don't understand. I get the old, switching up, twitching your accent, you know, giving a little touch with a bottle of water. You know, just give a little touch.
Brother, this guy.
But see, I'm Nigerian down to the core. I talk to guys. See, if you see me, you will not assume that I go elsewhere. Under bridge. Because it's not. I feel like it allows me to connect. I feel like, yeah, on a serious note, I feel like it allows me to connect to people. It allows me to connect to the people that are around me. Because that accent tends to be a barrier sometimes.
Yeah.
And it tends to make people feel a certain type of way. So I like to talk in a way that it makes people feel comfortable and we're able to have a conversation. So in a way that you can know that I'm just as human as you are. in a way that, you know that, you know, I'm not bigger than you. I'm not better than you. I'm just mm-hmm. like you. So we're having a conversation. So if you lived under the bridge, I think I lived under the bridge too. So we're the same. We're really the same. Like, there's nothing too much to it. You know, people will be like, oh, but you grew up. It doesn't matter. I'm saying Nigerian. I'll always be.
Right. But Paola said you love Latin trap. What is Latin trap?
Latin trap, man, she's on something because I don't be listening to anything other than Afrobeat.
You are going to get in trouble for that one. I'm pretty sure you are going to get in trouble.
Now, this guy wants to make us have controversy. This one here that just say, "What do you think of Kanye West?"
What do you think of Kanye West?
I listen to him every now and then. I listen to Kanye every now and then. Bad Bunny, mm-hmm. I don't know who that is.
But what do you think of Kanye West? Not just about him. What do you think about him?
He's overwhelming. You want to put me in a trap? You see, I'm using people to test the water. When I blow fine now, and I enter one interview like this, and they say,
yo,
what do you think about this guy? I say, he's overwhelming. That's all.
Yo, see, I'm a Kanye fan, and I know what Vitalis is trying to do. So I will let's let it go. Let's let it go. Final question. Big goals. Your goals for the organization this year. No, the year just started. Do you have any plans? Anything you're trying to set up? Even though we'll try to keep it at a minimum, so it comes out to be quite a blast, you know. But you've got some plans. Anything you're working on so far?
Three things. To all my Ghanaian brethren, we're looking to do something in Kumasi very soon. That's another region.
Mm-hmm.
Going back to Nigeria and doing a sneaker tour.
Let's go.
Going back to Nigeria, doing a sneaker tour, which will be in Lagos, because, I mean, there. And lastly, USA! 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 Hey. In the US, the rest is history.
Makes a lot of sense, man. Makes a lot of sense. Great to have you on, my guy. My people, as you can see, this is the guy. This is the man right here. We've been talking about this for a while. It took so long, but we are finally here. We finally made it.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for having me. We are going to be on every week now. You don't know anything. You work just started. We're going to be on every week. So guys, please tune in. This is going to be on YouTube and our audio platform, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, whatever. We're going to try to do more IG lives, especially with our guests as well. And yeah, I was supposed to put out the guest list, but no one said anything about it, so we'll leave it. It just come out every now and then.
Let's surprise them.
Sprinkle.
Let's surprise them.
Some things here and there, you know.
God bless America and the USCSI. Man, she's always on some code. But God bless
America. God bless Nigeria. God bless Nigeria.
God bless Nigeria, Joe. God bless Nigeria.
God bless Ghana. God bless Africa.
God bless Ghana, Joe. God bless Africa. Uh-uh. Who's the host of
what
the
is
year?
It?
Wait, hold
that's
on.
Me. You're not you. You're not yet the host. Wait.
Who's the host of the year?
Me now. Me, of course.
Wait,
where?
How you know it's you? How you know it's you?
Who else?
Wait, calm. Why are you? Drag this thing. Calm down. Is it not still here? Talk with the God bless Nigeria, Joe. Thank you. God always bless Nigeria. Komo is the host. See this guy.
Just a good life, my man.
What about me? Ain't nobody nobody saying God bless me.
You said you're a newcomer, relax.
Everybody doesn't call me, doesn't call Africa, doesn't call yes, doesn't call that. What about your boy? All your haters, man. You are a hater.
Oh man, this was a great one. I really appreciate everyone for joining. Thank you guys for coming on this journey with us. And this season is going to be a blast. We have so many things planned. And back home, we got a few things that we're trying to work on as well. So be ready for it. Be ready. The Flat Out Show is going to be great, for sure.